This is the McIntosh County Academy Buccaneers Coaches Show with head coach Bradley Warren on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Cunningham Jewelers, Marshland Credit Union, and by Lou Saab Kia of Brunswick. And now, here is your host, Todd Willis.
Welcome to the McIntosh County Academy Buccaneer Coaches Show with head coach Bradley Warren on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I am Todd Willis. This segment of the Buccaneer Coaches Show is sponsored by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Cunningham Jewelers, Marshland Credit Union, and by Lou Saab Kia of Brunswick. And now, joining us, the head coach of the MCA Buccaneers, Bradley Warren.
Hey, guys.
Coach Warren, let's dive right in. We had a bye last week, hadn't played in about a week and a half, give or take, and we're getting ready for this big playoff game upcoming. But last game of the regular season was an absolute shootout on the road at Portal. You know, it didn't work out the way we would have liked, but, man, what a ball game and what an effort by the Bucs.
Yeah, it was a big ball game. It ended our three-game win streak. You know, the final score was 27-24. We just had some things that didn't go our way in a tight ball game, and they made a few more plays than we did.
Yeah, and it was an offensive contest, as you know, the final score was up there especially for the Bucs.
Yeah, we had 24 points. Missed the first extra point on a bad snap, and we went for two to try to catch that up, and at one point, it got where we probably shouldn't have gone to. Probably should have tried to kick again, and it might have made the score a little closer had we executed them. One of those hindsight 2020 things. Then, offensively, Todd, I was pretty pleased with offense. We came alive. We moved the ball. We controlled the clock. I think we had 68 plays to their 51.
Okay.
Those games you're supposed to win. We did have a touchdown call back that was monstrous, because it would have been pretty big. And then we, right before halftime, if you remember, we had ran the ball down to the two and got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty for mouthing at another kid, and that backs up. We got no points out of that, so those were two self-inflicted wounds there that hurt us. The touchdown pass call back to Keyshawn Tyson, he didn't line up. He never checked in with the ref to see if he was on or off the line of scrimmage, so we had two bad errors on our part there. And then you had a Portal team that was, you know, gunning for an upset. They had played two of our region opponents really close and lost at home. All the Bays were telling me they're going to play their tail off at home, and sure enough, we go in there with a few kids out and we grab a hold of a buzzsaw.
Yeah, Portal always plays hard in all sports, football being absolutely one of them. And it's a rivalry. Although not geographically close by, we play Portal every year, and it always seems to be a hard-fought game.
Yeah, it for sure was. I told you I was pleased with the offensive effort. Ernest McIntosh had an outstanding ball game. He had 40-something carries, 200-something yards, three touchdowns. You can't fault that performance. Everybody was asking, why did he carry the ball 40 times? Well, he wasn't tired. When he got tired, he checked himself out. So he's in pretty good shape.
Well, and when you got a player like Ernest, yeah, it is almost needed most times to give you best player the ball.
Yeah, that's not no secret. And then defensively, you know, we were missing several starters defensively, and Portal's got a great coaching staff. Coach McKeachin does a good job, and I told our coaches, I said, if they start going at these subs, we're going to have to change up some things. They went at them right off the bat. You know, we gave up two circus catches in the secondary, and then they ran some plays at one of our backup linemen until we just made us change.
Yeah, and like you said, they went right at the defensive subs that we had in the game, and that's a product of good coaching on their part.
Yeah, it made us change. We were able to take out the run game pretty well. They hit us with some solid passing attacks that hurt us.
This is the MCA Coaches Show with head coach Bradley Warren on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
You know, they hurt us in, you know, their passing attack, guys. I think they were 8 out of maybe 14, 8 out of 13. But, you know, when you're talking about completing 8 of those balls and some of them deep shots, we've got to contest the football a little better when it's in the air.
Yeah, and the Bucs on defense, although some of those plays went for big yards or scores by Portal, the Bucs made some good plays on defense along the way as well.
Yeah, we won the turnover battle, Todd. I think we were 3-4-1 on the turnover battle.
Okay, wow.
Had the one big play where they came through and popped the ball loose out of Ernest right before he got it. Eric Jackson had an interception. We had some forced turnovers. The defense played pretty well in the turnover category. Excellent, actually, in the turnover category. We defended the run really well. They only had about 100 yards or so rushing, maybe 105, whatever it was. But they hit some big explosive pass plays on us, and we were worried about those.
Yeah. Talk to us about on the defensive side of the ball. You know, we talked about the subs and what Portal's done, but who on the Bucs side of the defensive ball played well?
Well, you had Eric Jackson, I thought, was a pretty good cover corner. They quit throwing at him. He had a big interception on their sideline in the secondary. He did well. Aiden Ross didn't play bad in the secondary. He was in position. He just got his candy stolen. And he's got to make a play on the ball because he knows he's smart. He knows what he's doing. He's in position. He just didn't. They made the play. He did it. Then we started Jacquez Ballou at corner. He was the cover corner against one of their better receivers, and he had a hard night. That kid made some great – the diving catch was – I mean, there's not many people in the country can defend a diving catch. You know, stretched out, and the kid caught it. Good for him. On the front, I felt like our defensive front played pretty well most of the night. We were limited to only running one look, but that look gave them a hard time against the run. We got in our 3-4 defense, and I felt like the linebackers and the defensive line in particular played really well as a whole. Like I said, we forced, I think, 3 turnovers from the defensive line.
Yeah. So, I mean, the defense continues to get better. I mean, just containing those explosive plays, that's on everybody's list of to-dos in a defensive game plan, of course. And when you're playing a team like Portal who could throw the ball, that's, of course, part of it. What about on the offensive side of the ball for the Bucs? I think you mentioned Ernest McIntosh. He was an absolute workhorse that night, as he should have been. And if my math is correct, he does have over 1,000 yards on the season. Is that right?
Yeah, he's like 1,160 yards, something like that. It's averaging over 5 yards a carry.
And that's the first 1,000-yard rusher for the Bucs since
Will Jones.
Will Jones, which was. Which year, Coach?
4 seasons ago, maybe.
4 seasons. So it's been a full cycle of kids that have gone, and, came and gone and graduated since you had a 1,000-yard rusher. And Ernest is only a junior.
Yeah, so we've had, in the last 7 seasons, we've had 3,000-yard rushers. You had this year Ernest McIntosh, then you had Will Jones, and you had, of course, Trenton Johnson, who was up there pretty high. He was coming in at close to 2,000 before he got hurt.
Yeah, Trenton was an absolute monster. Loved him. Loved be some Will Jones.
Yep.
And, but Ernest McIntosh, the Bucs live to fight another night in another game coming up here on Friday night away against Johnson County High School, 10-0 on the road, big ball game.
Yeah, Johnson County's a historical blue blood program in single-A ball. We've got our hands full with them, that's for sure.
More to come on the Buccaneer Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsor.
I'm Dr. Bo Sasser with Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, calling a timeout for an important message. When it comes to sports injuries, our highly trained experts have years of experience treating all kinds of sports-related injuries. Plus, we have access to all the resources at Southeast Georgia Health System. So, if you suffer an injury, on the field or off, let us get you back to your game.
Call 1-855-ASK-SGHS. That's 1-855-275-7447 or visit sghs.org.
Lou Saab Kia of Brunswick is a proud supporter of local athletics and your official high school football dealership. At Lou Saab Kia, we love Friday Night Lights just like you. Come check out our massive inventory, over 100 in-stock vehicles to choose from, as low as 1.9% APR on new vehicles, and mention you heard us on this coach's show and receive an additional $500 off any new in-stock purchase. Lou Saab Kia at the end of Altama, 912-254-2034, and online at LouSaabKiaOfBrunswick.com.
Touchdown Fridays are all about big plays, and at Marshland Credit Union, we're here to help you make yours. cash for your first car, or a loan for your forever home, we've got the game plan. Proud to back our hometown teams, because winning is better when we all do it together. Marshland Credit Union. Local roots, big wins.
Welcome back to the McIntosh County Academy Coaches Show with Head Coach Bradley Warren on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Todd Willis. This segment brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic and by Cunningham Jewelers. We went out of the last segment, Coach Warren, starting to talk about Johnson County. We just mentioned it. It was a good tease as our listeners went to break. But we are back to talk Bucks football, and there is no bigger night of football more exciting than playoff Friday night, and we are going up to Wrightsville, Georgia to play Johnson County, 10-0, top 10 team, and it's on at that point, Coach.
Yeah, it is. We're playing one of the traditional small school powerhouses in Johnson County. Coach Norton's a product of Georgia Southern, played for the legendary Irk Russell. That's nice. Herschel Walker's hometown, you know, where he played high school football at Johnson County. So it's a, you know, a storied program. They're a good football team. They're not big. They're fast like us, maybe faster in a couple spots, and we're faster in a couple spots, you know, one of those deals. I think we're a little bit older than them in some areas, which is nice for a change. They've got some senior-laden skill kids that are really good and really fast that we've got to stop those explosives, get hats on them, run them out of bounds, those type of things. And then on the front, they're young. They've got some they're starting some sophomores and a couple freshmen, but the sophomores and freshmen have all played. They've been playing since they were young. So I like our matchup against them. I feel like if we go play, it's going to be a good ball game.
Yeah, I mean, it's they play, of course, in a different region than we do. We've not seen any common opponents that I've noticed. So really can't make any judgments along those lines. But the storied program at home, got some explosive athletes. It sounds like a good matchup.
It is. I mean, we've got to limit explosive plays and stop. Or, you know, if we dodge some of those explosives, a handful of those could be the difference in the ball game. Did they make them or did we make them? I feel good about if we can go in and control the clock and give them a heavy dose of Ernest McIntosh and the play-action game with KT, Keyshawn Tyson, and some of the run game with Makai Jackson, I think we'll have a shot to beat them. But our defense is going to have to step up. We're going to be a little short from players, but we're as healthy as we're going to be for the rest of the year, so we've got to step up and play.
Yeah, I mean, it's go time. It's, you know, go hard or go home. Coach, I mean, it's and Bucks gonna go hard. I mean, I can tell you that we won't go home willingly as the Bucks take the field. And I don't think there's a lack of confidence going into this game, given the schedule we've had.
No, there's not. We're not scared of anybody. We've had a brutal schedule. You know, at one point in time, we'd played four top 10 opponents.
Wow.
And two of those opponents finished up in the top 10. One of them finished up undefeated. Which was, you know, a great season for anybody. So we've got our hands full, but our kids have had a great week of practice. You know, yesterday being the great starting of the practice, we were upbeat. It was cold for down here on the beach.
Oh, yes.
So we didn't deal with that really well. Kids want hand warmers, and, you know, you'd think they were frozen out on the Alaska tundra. But I enjoyed practice yesterday.
That's good. What do we anticipate seeing from Johnson County on the offensive side of the ball? What do they do?
Johnson County is a wing T offense with a little spread mix in there for some wrinkles. But they run basically our old offense that we ran for decades here with me. Or not decades, years here with me.
You're listening to the MCA Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
They're wing back heavy, fullback heavy with a good receiver. Classic wing T team. Their wing T's not a power wing T. It's more speed. They do run the power, but they're trying to get on the edge with the speed they have.
Yeah, so a wing T team. We've seen these teams all year. Who would be comparable to that? Does anybody that we've seen this season run something similar?
Yeah, I would say Jenkins County, ECI, some of those guys. Bryan County, Jenkins County, ECI, those guys part of their run game looks just like Bryan County, and then there's another part that looks more like Jenkins.
Do they have any players? I'm sure they do, but tell us about any players that really stand out for them on offense.
Well, we'll start with their offensive line. They're not impressive as an individual, but as a whole, they get shoe to shoe, and they're vicious. They just like little pit bulls, you know, on your knees and on your shins. Fullback is young. He could. They got a couple they could throw at you, but they're young. And then the seniors, the wing in the slot, that's who they're trying to get on the perimeter. Those guys scare you. They're fast.
So they can break the game wide open.
Yeah, we got to get hats on them and not stand there and watch and see if we tackle them. We got to go help and make sure we tackle.
So what about their quarterback, you know, running backs, you know, the wings sound special. What about these other skill positions?
They got a receiver that they like to throw to. They've got a couple of passing concepts where they take deep shots downfield. We've got to make plays. That could be the difference in a game is those times they take those shots. Did we defend them or did we give them up? Quarterback's not a big kid. He's thin but runs well. And the receiver that they have is, we've seen as good or better, but he still scares me because we struggle a time or two covering receivers like him.
That's right. What about the Johnson County defensive side of the ball?
Defensive side, they're a little different than really anything we've seen. They play a 4-4-3-4 type look, and they are moving. They're not real big. They are penetrating, moving, and stunning, blitzing. They're going to catch us some, and we're going to run by them some.
So it sounds like their defense is based around their team speed, similar to ours.
It is.
Yeah. So anybody stand out on their defensive side of the ball that you could make note of?
They're young on the interior. They're starting quite a few sophomores, but they play really hard. That part I like. They've got an outside linebacker, I believe, is number one. He's an issue. They've got a defensive lineman that's an issue. Their coverage in the back end is pretty good. They haven't given up a lot of explosive plays this year because those kids can lock your receivers down. So look for Keyshawn Tyson to move around and let's see if we can get him open a little bit.
Yeah, KT, we tend to do well when KT does well. I mean, all the kids do well, of course, to do well, but you know, KT can be a big difference maker for us.
Yeah, he can. So, you know, it's going to be speed on speed, and what size we have, it has to, you know, we've got to make that go to our advantage, and they're going to try to, you know, limit, are we going to drive the ball? We're going to try to limit explosives. So it's a great matchup. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and you talk about their offensive line being a bunch of pit bulls, shoe to shoe, going up against the Predator.
Yeah.
And the rest of the Bucks. But the Predator – yeah, he has to be accounted for by them because Javonte Cummins is for real.
Yeah, he's one of our main players. He's got to have a good ball game, and I know he's ready to.
We will be right back to Buccaneer Coaches Show with head coach Bradley Warren on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Cunningham Jewelers is a proud supporter of local athletics, and just like you, we enjoy Friday Night Lights. Whether it's natural talent or coaching created talent, they both win games. And whether it's Earth Mine Diamonds or Lab Mine Diamonds, they both look great in her ears or on her finger. Cunningham Jewelers in historic downtown Brunswick, 912-265-8652 or online, cunninghamjewelers.com.
Sports are a little different down here, and the SouthernSportsEdition.com is your go-to for all things Southern sports. The most complete high school football coverage in the state. Braves, Bulldogs, Jags, Falcons, anything SEC and more. The SouthernSportsEdition.com is also your home for the Jason Bishop Show, Georgia's most listened to sports show, high school football coaches shows, and more. The SouthernSportsEdition.com. Friday Night Lights and sweet tea.
Welcome back to the McIntosh County Academy Buccaneer Coaches Show with head coach Bradley Warren on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Todd Willis. This segment is brought to you by Lou Saab Kia of Brunswick and by Marshland Credit Union. Coach Warren, just yesterday, if I've got this correct, GHSA did publish the proposed region alignments. I know about a week or two ago, the divisions, you know, single A, double A, triple A, et cetera, all that was published, and the appeals process went through. But now the region assignments have been published for the first time for the next 2 years. Let's get into that a little bit. It's always fun to look ahead and to see who will play, not play. Will rivalries that we've had still be around, or will we be creating new rivalries?
Yeah, some of both, I think, will be the deal here. So classification, reclassification is finished. So everybody's in their classification now. And the regions were put out, but there is an appeals process that will occur, I think, Monday. If somebody wants to make a lateral move, not a vertical move, but a horizontal move, they'll either grant or deny those moves. And I'm hoping they are very limited, because it looks like they've worked really hard on these regions, and it wouldn't be fair to take, you know, two schools out of a region and make us pick up five or six, six, seven ball games, and somebody else will have to pick up two or three. So I hope they keep the balance like they should. That's my hopes. But in our new region, we have an old foe, Claxton. They didn't win a ball game this year, but they sure got better, and they'll be hungry next year, so they're scary. Then we've got the traditional ECI matchup, Manuel County Institute, and that's been a back and forth for the last seven, 8 years.
Always been a slobber knocker when ECI and MCA get together.
Yeah, so that's a big one. And then, you got the Bucks, and we'll be a very competitive ball club again next year. Then you've got Montgomery County back in the region, who was in it not this cycle, but the last cycle. Mm-hmm. So that's up in Mount Vernon?
Mount Vernon.
Yep. I have them, and they're usually really, really tough in track and a few other things. Then you have Portal, who's on the upswing. You know, they're getting a lot of the kids out of the area that don't want to play at Statesboro or something like that. So they're getting some good athletes right now, and that offense they've got going on is tough. Then you've got three non-football schools, Savannah Classical, Savannah Early College, and the STEAM Academy out of Savannah. And sometimes they play some sports like soccer or basketball.
Volleyball sometimes.
And then Troutman is back in the region. That's the first time they've been in the region in a long time. But they used to be an old foe here. And anyway, they're back in the region as well.
So some old foes that are coming back and some that we've played every year for a long time. Who are some folks that, if these regions stand, that we've lost from region that we're in now?
Well, the region that changed, some of the schools were quite a bit bigger than us. They appealed to come down. They were allowed to last time. They didn't get that same privilege this time. But Bryan County's moving up into the division just above us. Medder High School, Savannah High School are the main ones that are moving up.
And Screven,
and Screven County, yes, that's right. Those four are moving up.
Yep. And then, of course, Jenkins County, who is a rival in many sports, football included. As it's written now, they are not in our region the next 2 years.
No, they sent them kind of, what would that be, northwest. West, yeah, mm-hmm. Northwest of us.
Yeah, you know, and that's they're always a tough matchup in every sport, always, especially in football. Well, this is the MCA Coaches Show with Bradley Warren on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Well, that rivalry has definitely been something that's intensified over the years. There was a period in time, Todd, where I hadn't lost to Jenkins County, but Coach Charlie Waters does a good job, and we beat him lastly in 2022 for the region championship, but he's nipped us the last three goes.
Yeah.
Even though some of those are pretty close, like this year, a 7-0 ball game with us having two scores called back. So I'm not going to be sad to see them go, but I would like to continue the rivalry if we could play them in a non-region game.
Oh, of course. You know, it's always good to play those rival teams. You know what you're going to get. You're going to get a good ball game. It's going to be well coached. It's going to be hard played. And all those games against Jenkins, although they've gotten us 3 years in a row, they're always close, competitive ball games.
Yeah, it had been. There was a period, if you want to, you know, rivalries are rivalries. So out of the last seven times that we've played Jenkins County, the record's now 4-3. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's and that's the way it
– in the Bucks' favor.
In the Bucks' favor. Yes, even better. Favor. Even better. So tell us more about the appeal process. I know this is all about moving horizontally from one region to the other, and there's different – what are some reasons teams could appeal and possibly be successful or not? What's that all about?
I think – one of the main things that you can appeal for is travel time. You know, we won an appeal a few years ago where part of the region that we were placed in was very acceptable. But the other part was a three-hour drive or three-and-a-half-hour drive, which, you know, you say, oh, you're going one time every 2 years in football. True. But what about those sports that go multiple times, you know, and play?
Throughout the week.
Throughout the week, not on the weekend. Just wasn't fair. So we appealed, and we won, and we're placed back in our historical region. So your travel distance is and travel time is a big thing. And, in fact, the state has an isolation rule, Todd, where they had actually placed us into isolation. So appeal, part of the appeal was to say, hey, we need back in this so we're not in the isolation rule. And luckily the committee agreed with us and placed us back. And there'll be some other schools that try to move. Some are for legit reasons like what we had. Some are just straight, hey, I don't want to play in this region. This other region looks better. And those are the ones I hope they deny.
Yeah, and hopefully they will. What's the isolation rule, Coach? I've been around for a long time. I don't know that I've ever heard of that.
There's some specifics, but I'll give you a little generalization of it. So if you're a school and you're in a particular classification and your opponents are X distance apart, X miles apart, X hours apart, you become isolated where it's not a fair drive. The drive is too long for common sports to play, you know, on a weekly, monthly basis. So when that happens, you can appeal and they can place you in a region more suited for your travel needs.
Oh, okay.
Even a classification, wow. They could move you up or down. You know, Richmond Hill a few years ago got to play, there was 7A, but they got to play down because of their isolation rule.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Okay. And sitting over here on the coast as the only single A school within an hour of here, I think, you know, Bryan County is about an hour.
They're double now.
Claxton's about, you know, hour and 15. You know, Charlton's about an hour. And we're over here sitting amongst some really big schools, and we're just kind of isolated all by ourselves.
Yeah, we're kind of the small jewel on the coast.
Oh, we're small jewel on the coast, and we are the single-A school that could. I can promise you that. Well, Coach Warren, you know, we're going to wrap it up here. You know, it's looking forward to a big ball game this Friday night at Johnson County High School in the first round of the GHSA state playoffs. Thanks for joining us for the McIntosh County Academy Coaches Show with Bradley Warren on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Todd Willis, signing off.
Go Bucks.
We are one buck.